For this evening's message, I share words from Psalm 32, which is also the introit for this evening. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Now, the psalmist certainly can't be talking about me, can he? And he certainly can't be talking about the rest of us here, Kenny. I'm not saying that we're deceitful people, but we do tend to deceive sometimes even ourselves, don't we? Oh, that sin, that's not so bad. It's just a little one. As the pastor's name then goes out over the police scanner to at least hundreds, maybe thousands of people who are tuned in. Oh, Pastor Ader, he got stopped on Highway W. That wasn't so bad of a sin. Now was it? 5 miles over the speed limit. But it was a sin nonetheless, wasn't it? There are sins that we in our minds make out to be big sins. They're those that we make out to be small sins. And there are some things I would imagine that, well, we wouldn't even consider it to be a sin, period, now would we? At least not coming from our actions or our thoughts or our words. But boy, they come from somebody else's. They might be pretty big. But yet the psalmist is exactly talking about us insofar as our transgression has been forgiven, which is probably something that we take for granted. As you can tell from my voice, I have a cold. I take it for granted every day, just as you do with the ease with which I breathe. I don't even have to think about it. It just sort of happens until I get a cold or it's allergy season and I get stuffed up and then I have to work at breathing. And I can just imagine for somebody that has asthma or COPD, I think there's a D on the end, and those breathing illnesses that struggle every day for the smallest breath, and how we very easily take that blessing for granted, that we fill our lungs with air and we exhale CO2, and the plants take in CO2 and they exhale oxygen, and we're all going along wonderfully through life. But how, when that blessing is maybe more fully realized, or maybe is diminished, how much more it stands out for us. All of us, I'm sure, myself included, go through life taking the fact that God forgives us of our sins somewhat for granted. I go through my day, I don't think about it very much. I think about it when I stand in front of the altar and I'm forgiving all of you. And that's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful place to stand. It's wonderful news to share that your sins are forgiven you. But then part of me wonders if you really fully grasp what that means when I say your sin is forgiven of you. Everything. Even that sin that keeps plaguing you 5 seconds after I've forgiven you your sin. It's forgiven in God's sight. And what a blessing that is. And the psalmist says, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose iniquity is covered. Adam and Eve were displaying iniquity in the Garden of Eden. And they tried to cover themselves with leaves. I saw a funny cartoon thinking about leaves. It was the fall of the year, and Adam and Eve are dressed in their fall foliage. And Eve says to Adam, would you mind picking up your clothes as the leaves are scattered all over the yard? Maybe it looked funnier than what it really was. But forgiveness of sins and being covered, our iniquity being covered, is something that God does for us. And we're perfectly covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. And that forgiveness is full and it's sure. And it's there for us to go back to again and again. It begins right here at the baptismal font. And there that flood, that surge of water washes away all of our guilt. That sin that we get from Adam and Eve and that gets passed on to us by our parents. But also all of those sins that we commit since then. And all those we're going to continue to commit up until our last breath. That water rushes away, and it's something that we should remember every day. The contrary side of that is that the one whose sin isn't forgiven isn't blessed, is cursed. And we live in a world where people don't acknowledge their sin. They don't acknowledge God. They're certainly not going to acknowledge or accept forgiveness. In fact, probably in the minds of most people of the world, simply for me to say your sin's forgiven of you, they're like, well, what's that? You know, that you might as well go up to a cancer patient and say you're healed. Well, it's much more than that. Because behind those couple of words, your sins are forgiven you, isn't just me, but there's the full power of God behind it. And the power of God to actually accomplish it in your lives, in my life. That's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful blessing. It's a blessing that may be taken for granted, but maybe one that needs to come to the fore, maybe when we're feeling the weight of our sin, or maybe when the devil is constantly plaguing us with that doubt as to whether or not that sin is really forgiven. Or the devil comes to us and says, in our misery, in our guilt, how in the world could God forgive a person like you? I remember somebody once asking me, Pastor, do you ever have a hard time forgiving someone? Like, you know, somebody's really done something against you, you know, like they were talking behind your back or backstabbing you, and you heard about it, and they're there in church on Sunday morning, and they haven't said anything to you, you know, confessing it. Is it hard for you to forgive them? I said, well, if I'm honest, there's that human side that it would be kind of hard to forgive somebody. But I said, I'm not standing up there as Kevin Ader forgiving you your sin. I'm standing there in the place as a representative of Christ forgiving you your sins. And if he died on the cross to forgive you your sin, he's the one that's offering the forgiveness. And if I'm not going to be forgiving either, then I've got a problem too. Don't die. Because that forgiveness is a very precious blessing. It's perhaps the most precious blessing that we have next to eternal life. They're sort of the same side of the same coin because they go together. The psalmist says, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven. David is the one who writes it. David, the murderer. David, the adulterer. David, whatever else you want to fill in the dirty, dark closet of his skeletons. The one who tried to hide his sin from his people, from himself, from God. Who says, when I kept my sin hidden and locked up inside me, I wasted away. And I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. and you forgave me the iniquity of my sin. David understood forgiveness. David wants us to understand forgiveness. In a few moments, we'll sing those words that David penned after the prophet Nathan, when confronting David of his sin, David cried out, "It's me, forgive me. God, don't take your spirit from me, but rather create in me a new and a right spirit." That's always our prayer. May it always be ours also, that we live in the blessedness of the knowledge of our sin forgiven. And when we come to the Lord's table, we take into our hands that very body and that very blood that cover us, cover our iniquity, so that indeed we can stand sin forgiven. Whether we understand that or not, even whether we feel it or not, because it's real. It's a real blessing. As blessed as being able to breathe without trouble and not think about it, to be able to go through life knowing that my sin is forgiven. Not a license to go out and do whatever I want. You won't catch me going down Highway W 50 miles. Well, I shouldn't say that. Oops, that's getting broadcast on the internet too. But you might catch me going down 50, but you won't catch me going down 100 miles an hour, because that's foolishness. But God also grants us forgiveness, not as a license to go and do what we please, but as a comfort for those of us who live in the flesh, yet in this time and space, who battle with that. I'm God's child, and yet I have this wickedness in me. Who's going to save me from this battle going on in me? Like St. Paul says, thanks be to God, who gives us the victory in Jesus Christ. He dies on the cross. His blood covers us of our sin. He rises on Easter morn and opens to us the gate of paradise. No longer does that angel stand at the gate of paradise with its fiery sword, blocking Adam and Eve and their descendants. The sin has been covered. The iniquity has been covered with the precious blood of Jesus once and for all time, for all people. Thanks be to God that he's given us that blessedness in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.